Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to Two Out the First. Happy Friday. It's May the 3rd, 2024. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for being here. It's been a pretty quiet week, let's be honest. We haven't had a lot going on in the world of golf. No offense to the CJ Cup Byron Nelson, the amalgamation of two tournaments that is happening now in Dallas, or to LIV Singapore, which looks like about 37 people attended, and we will talk about that a little bit here today. And then also, we've got the DP World Tour event in China with the Volvo China Open being back on their schedule as opposed to the Asian Tour schedule. So we got that going on. A lot of the golf that's happening this week is just out of view for most Americans. And I know most people listening to the show are American. If you're in Europe, you get to straddle a little bit better than we do. But it's an interesting week in terms of just kind of the lull before you get to another signature event, which plus or minus whatever. And then the PGA Championship. And I think the build to the PGA is probably the worst of the majors, because you have all of these kind of in-between Masters events, and the Masters is such a high for the sport that then you go and want to do the next thing, right? And that's the PGA Championship, but in between you've got to come down to go up, right? Because the PGA Championship isn't as high as the Masters in terms of build and intrigue and interest, and it kind of creeps up on people. And you've got these tournaments that are fun, but you know, I love Harbortown, and that's great that Scottie Scheffler won, but now that's been interrupted. The run that he's been on has been interrupted because he's taken a break and life's about to happen, or is happening to him, about to become a father, or has become a father, I don't know, whatever. And then you kind of have this one-week buildup where you go, okay, we're going to have a signature event, everyone's back together, and then PGA Championship. And that, I think, is probably the worst buildup of the majors. Because, you know, the Open, the British Open, the Open Championship, whatever you call it, which it is the Open. The buildup for that is, hey, now we're going to go overseas. And we're going to have a signature event, and then we're going to go to Scotland, and that's really cool. You should watch Scottish golf way more often. Oh, by the way, we've got this thing called the Open the next week. That's a good build. The U.S. Open is also probably not the best build either, because then you go and you have, at least you have Colonial, and then you have Memorial. So you have two long-running tournaments. One's a signature event. You know, that's not bad. You got stuff to think about there. And then you have the U.S. Open. So probably the worst build is to the PGA Championship, which means we just have a fairly quiet week this week until we have exemption talk left, right, and center between the different tours. And that's kind of the primary focus of the show today, is two different types of exemptions that are being discussed. One was accepted by Tiger Woods. He has accepted a special exemption from the United States Golf Association to play in the 2024 U.S. Open at Pinehurst No. 2 in Pinehurst, North Carolina. And he will be making his first appearance in the U.S. Open, which will be his 23rd, by the way, since 2020. And I hadn't thought about that until I saw the release of, oh yeah, he did play the September 2021 at Wingfoot, but he didn't play in 21 because that was just a few months after the car wreck. And he didn't play in 22, wasn't quite ready. Or got injured or whatever, and couldn't play after the PGA Championship. And then last year, he didn't play because he had surgery to alleviate plantar fasciitis after the Masters, and that was it for him. So he hasn't played in this thing in 3 years. That's strange to think about. And he got this special exemption primarily because he's the first or second best golfer of all time. And for people, so I tweeted about it yesterday, just, hey, Tiger's accepted a special exemption, he's going to play. And most people are fine with that, and they favored it. And then you get people who are like, what a waste of a spot. Why did you give this guy a spot? Why, just move on from this guy. Well, there's a practical reason for inviting him. One, he was injured, and I understand that at least, you know, two of those years was his own doing, but he was injured as part of this 5-year exemption that he had for winning the 2019 Masters. Because when you win any major, you get a 5-year exemption into all the other majors if you haven't won it already. So this is the one major he can't play guaranteed for the rest of his career, for the rest of his playing days. He has a lifetime exemption to the Masters, effective lifetime exemption to the PGA, effective lifetime exemption to the British Open, you know, the Open Championship, to 60 years age, right? He's not playing golf at 60. Probably not. The U.S. Open doesn't offer that. It's the one you've got to qualify for, and we're not letting our champions stick around forever, for better or for worse. So, for the practical reason of, hey, he's been injured, he hasn't been even able to enjoy the 5-year exemption he earned for winning the Masters. That's part one. Part two is precedent. They did this for Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer and Tom Watson. Go down the list of greats of USGA, US Open champions. And the USGA has a track record of giving special exemptions to the elite, the greatest of great, in terms of being major champions or USGA champions when they need it. They did it for all of those players. And I'm sure there was a different kind of kvetching back then because we didn't have social media in the way that we do now or at all to talk about those things and go, oh, well, you shouldn't have put Jack in there. You know, he's all washed up, blah, blah, blah. The third reason is very clear, too. He sells tickets. People watch him play. And if nothing else, the ratings conversation that we've had this year about golf and where interest is in the game outside of Tiger has proven that Tiger is still very much a needle mover for the casual sports fan. Not necessarily to the degree that he was 20 years ago, of course. And tastes have changed in terms of how people view and how people consume things and what they have the options to view. All those things are different. So his effect isn't quite the same, but it is still very much the biggest in the sport. So if you want to sell some tickets at the USGA, and they still have some, then go break. Tiger Woods is playing. Like, get him in there. If he's able and willing to accept the exemption, then go play. And I think the people who have complained about this or will complain about this have to also think about the flip side of this. This is a humbling experience for a great of the game. Tiger's 48, right? Closer to the end than the beginning. And you get to a stage in your career when you're one of these types of special players where you can't trade on your past accomplishments and get into every tournament automatically, right? Tiger's experiencing that with the, you know, he wanted to play once a month. Well, if he wanted to play twice a month and play in the signature events, he wouldn't have access to all of them. Some of them have sponsor exemptions, and they would all give them to Tiger, right? The Heritage gave a sponsor exemption to a former champion, Webb Simpson. If Tiger wanted to play, like, sorry, Webb, Tiger's playing, right? So he could have access to those things, but it wouldn't be on merit, his current merit. And that's where he is at with this championship, and only this championship. So for as long as he would like to continue playing the U.S. Open, he can either get into the Tour Championship, earn a ton of world ranking points to get into the top 60, or he can do this. And this is a humbling experience to be on the receiving end, or the projecting end of a news release that says Tiger's accepted a special exemption. And oh, by the way, if you're going to accept it, you have to play. We got to put a quote in the news release. We're going to make graphics of you that say you have a special exemption, all this type of stuff, instead of, oh, the world number one is going to be here. Here's Scottie Scheffler. He's clearly the best player on the planet. We would be a fool to play this tournament without him, kind of thing. It's a little different. So this is, in my view, a marker in Woods' career. But it is also absolutely the right thing to do. So for anyone who wants to complain that's a waste of a spot, from a business perspective, from a career achievement perspective, from a precedent perspective, you're absolutely wrong. You're completely and totally wrong if you think that. So you can complain about that all you want, but you are wrong. So you can choose to be right or wrong. Get on board. He's playing. So we've got that, right? At the same time, you have Liv's Singapore event that started overnight here, you know, in the United States on Thursday night, but it's Friday there. And pre-tournament, they had a couple, they have a couple different kind of group news conferences. And I think they like to do it for two reasons. One, most players don't get asked a whole lot of interesting questions. Two, I think it's more comfortable for the players to do it as a group as opposed and kind of defer the harder questions. Maybe it's a little bit more intimidating for the press to ask like a panel instead of one guy who's up there at the days and going, oh, well, you know, if they don't want to answer something, someone else can step in and help them. And I'm sure they've been coached as such. You see it in the transcripts. But so you had Jason Kokrak and Brooks Koepka, Graham McDowell, and Taylor Gooch, the Smash team, up there. And there are a lot of times when they don't do it this way, where they have three or four people from different teams. But in this instance, they have the, you know, the full team there. And all of the players outside of Brooks, because Brooks is exempt into the U.S. Open and the Open Championship because he won the PGA. So he's exempt for 5 years into the Open Championship, and he also, you know, an additional 5 years, right? And because he won the U.S. Open in, what, 2018, he's got a 10-year exemption. So he's into that basically for as long as he's relevant in major championship golf, most likely. So outside of him, you ask Kokrak and McDowell, for, you know, a U.S. Open champion, and whose exemption has long run out. That ended in 2020. But you also have Gooch up there, who has become a kind of cattle prod of sorts for this type of stuff. You know, the whole stuff about the Masters, there might be an asterisk if players like him and other LIV players aren't invited. And obviously no one based in reality thought that then, and definitely doesn't think it now, because the best player on the planet won and he made it look easy with his B game. So I don't think Taylor Gooch was standing in the way, even if he were able to play at Augusta National. And he's going to be in the PGA Championship field. He is, the PGA is cool with that. This is like his one tournament to get in, guaranteed. Not going to get in the Masters. You'd have to do something spectacular outside of LIV to generate that kind of invitation. Kind of like Joaquin Niemann. He did stuff in LIV, and they were like, oh yeah, he also won the Aussie Open. That's really cool. We'll bring him in. Like, all right. If you want to win outside of LIV and win on LIV, then maybe you get an invite to the Masters. PGA is a little bit different. They're trying to invite the 100 best players in the world that they can identify. And they have the invitation bandwidth to be able to do that. So Gooch gets in. But he's not in the U.S. Open. He's not in the Open Championship. So all the three players who aren't qualified for those two majors were asked if they would play in qualifying to get in them. Kokrak, yes, he's playing in the Columbus final U.S. Open qualifier, the sectional. It used to be Dallas final, used to be sectionals. He's in. Graham McDowell's in the one in Florida. He's playing that one. They're both playing in open qualifying around the event that they have in England. I think it's JCB Country Club. And then you get to Gooch, and Gooch goes, I'm not. And that's it. He's not trying to qualify for the U.S. Open. He's not trying to qualify for the Open Championship. Neither is on the docket. Has no interest. No thank you. And that's it. That's the end of it. And I think that there is Evan Priest, who writes for Aussie Golf Digest and Golf Digest. He wanted to kind of offer some context, I suppose. Gooch doesn't want to play USGA qualifying events because he's mad at the USGA for changing the criteria a couple of years ago that if you qualify for the Tour Championship, you also have to be eligible to play in the Tour Championship to get in to the U.S. Open as that exemption, because they have an exemption for the players who competed in the Tour Championship, who qualified for the Tour Championship was the specific wording. And then they changed it ahead of the tournament before all of the all of the announcements were made about the field, that you also had to be eligible. And he wasn't eligible. He was ruled ineligible by the tour, so he did not get an exemption. He did not get a special invite from the USGA. And he's mad about that. And I get it. I get that you're mad. You thought you were in, and then you weren't. And that doesn't typically happen. He's got a point. However, get over it. Do you want to be taken seriously or not? There are bad things, unfair things that happen to all kinds of people in much worse situations every single day. My personal experience. My website has been attacked by a syndicate in Asia with five different copies of Golf News Net out there on just horrible, random-ass domains. And they've been doing it since June. They did it from June to November. It is in May, and that is still not entirely rectified yet. It has had a negative impact on my business in a substantial way. Now, I've worked around it, and that's what I've had to do. Not just get mad and go, well, I'm not doing this anymore. Okay, figure out ways around it. Try to do what you can. It's not fair. You're right. You don't have to like it. I don't like what's happening to me and GNN. But at the same time, I've been able to make progress on other things. The radio listenership is way up. Podcast listenership is up. Hours listened are up. That's all great. Our video partnerships with MSN and Send to News and Video Elephant and all these different companies, they're going so well. They've really grown, especially since we really ramped them up in the last month and a half. Those are cool things. And I say that to say, yes, something terrible happened. Something unfair happened. I did something about it. And if Taylor Gooch wants to stick it to the USGA, do something about it. Qualify for their championship, however much you hate going through it, and then go win the thing. And then flash the double bird to everybody at the USGA as soon as you win it. Go do that. That should be a motivator. And I said this to my son recently, because he's really working on his basketball game. And we've been taking him to these kind of like classes, day camp things. It's really, really cool. And he's going up, he's working with kids that are playing like AAU basketball at 11 and 12 years old. And they're putting a lot of time and effort in their game. And they probably have been since they were 7 or 8 years old, if you made me guess. So they're better than he is. And the first time he really got exposed to that, he got his ass kicked. And he looked very upset about it because he didn't have the same skill set. And they were quicker and they had better moves. And I talked to him about it and said, you can take one of two things from this experience. You can get sad or you can get mad. And if you get sad, you're going to let this happen to you playing basketball for as long as you play basketball. If you get mad and you decide you don't want this to ever happen to you again, then you are going to work on your game. You're going to commit to getting better and you're going to put in the time to improve. And I cannot tell you how proud I was when, you know, after a few minutes of thinking about it, just kind of sitting there quietly in the car ride, Carrick said, I'm going to get mad. That's what you do. You either do something about it or you shut up. And for Taylor Gooch to just kind of mope and go, I'm not doing that. I should be invited. I should be taken care of. They're called exemptions for a reason. They make the criteria, they make the decision, they express the invitation, not you. It's not the other way around. And if you want to get one, you can either go take it or you can get mad or get sad. And right now, Gooch is sad because he's not even going to go to like the open qualifying, like final qualifying. You could do it through there's probably an Asian tour event. I don't know the full open qualifying series events. Go play an Asian tour event. Go play a DP World Tour event if you're willing to pay the fine. to get in and try to finish high enough to get in the open that way. Or go do the open qualifying. You're already going to be there with Liv. You're going to be better than almost all the players who are competing in that. Go do it. Go prove the point. And he won't do it. And I think that speaks volumes. It's very easy to make fun of Liv, right? But I would say the same thing if, just make up a name, if Tom Kim were in the same spot and he did this from the PGA Tour. It's like, well, I'm not trying to qualify. Forget that. No, that's loser talk. Go do it. Go prove you're better. And then go get the trophy. What revenge tour. Let's go. That's just very bothersome to me. And I think it works against Liv, right? Because it makes him an easy punching bag. Because they go, well, if he's like that, then they all are like that. And that's an easy kind of leap to make for people. And that's not necessarily true, because Kokrak and Graham McDowell both said, yeah, we're going to try and qualify. And I'm sure other Liv golfers are going to try and qualify for the majors for which they are not qualified. If that, you know, with the Open qualifying for the Open and the U.S. Open, they're going to try it. Kudos to them. Okay. They knew what they were signing up for. And here they are. They're going to do something about it. I can laud that. I can appreciate that. And Gooch just sitting there saying, no, that I'm not doing it. That's an indictment of him. It truly is. Meanwhile, you've got this Liv event in Singapore. And I don't know what they're thinking at Liv. I know they're trying to kind of go around the world as best they can. But if they're going to try to stick this thing out and grow this thing, you need to find at least half your schedule in places like Adelaide, Australia. You had a great crowd there once again this year. I know that they had a number out there, like 93,000-94,000 people that attended over the three tournament days. Which, hey, that's cool. 30-ish thousand people a day. 31,000 and change a day. That's a great number of people. Over the course of a week, if you played four rounds, that's 120,000 people. Almost 125,000 people. That's a great number for a week. But then you go and have this event in Singapore, and there's no one there. I mean, it looked like Trump Doral worse. Just no one's there. Polite applause. I mean, it might as well be Jeddah, where there aren't many people there either. And they have these events on the schedule where no one's there. No one. And it just kills the vibe of it if you're trying to build that up. From a business perspective, wouldn't you go ahead and just try to make the best connections you can to what you think are the best underserved fan bases in golf? The Australians are like number one on the list. South Africans may or may not view it favorably. And they have the Sunshine Tour. But in terms of getting that next level player, they're not getting that on the reg. That's not happening. So that's one. You know, Spain's great. I love the Andalusia region of Spain, but you're probably not getting 120,000 people to come out to that. Where's another place that you can do that? Could you do it in Tokyo? Could you have an event in Japan that would draw a ton of people? Go there. Go do that. There's some photographs floating out there of Greg Norman in Manila, you know, in the Philippines, and trying to find a venue maybe there. No, 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 no. That is not it. Go find places where there are people who are golf crazy and are starved for this kind of stuff. Make them your international events and just do it that. You could have two. You could have one in Sydney or pick your Australian city. Melbourne, you could go out west, whatever you need to do. But you could have two in Australia. Go back to back. Make it that. Have one in South Africa. Have one in, just say, Argentina. You know, go do that kind of thing. And then, okay, you have your U.S. events, which I think they've done a fair job of trying to identify cities where there's probably some golf crowd, golf interest, and are just not being served by the PGA Tour. But then you go and have this Chicago event that they've announced because they couldn't come to an agreement with Rich Harvest Farms, so they're going to a public golf course that's available to play on Golf Now for $60 a round. So this mixture of ideas, some work and some are truly terrible. And it's, I know they're relatively new to this and trying to figure it out. But that gives, if you're the PGA Tour, that gives you the ammo to go, well, they really need our help. That gives you something to go, like, if you guys can't come up with these decent venues and identify the right places, you need us just as much as we need your money and need you to get out of the way. So that just leads to another stalemate, a different kind of stalemate. It's all, that part is still very tiresome, but that, I think, is some insight into it. The exemption stuff is what it is. It's a part of major championship golf, and for Tiger Woods and the U.S. Open, it's probably going to be a thing for next 2 to 3 years. And Jack took, I think, 4 or 5 exemptions, so just get used to that now if you're not a fan of it. And if you're cool with the Career Achievement Award exemption, which I'm fine with because Tiger's going to sell more tickets even if he had to go in a mobile scooter than any person that would come through qualifying. Just, it's a business decision at the end of the day. So that's going to do it for us this week. If you can send some good vibes my way and to my family's way, my son makes his stage debut tonight. He's never acted in his life, and he's got some good lines in the school musical. So we're going to see how that goes. He's very excited. He's got shows all weekend, so please send some good vibes to him. Been working really hard on it. I'm very proud of him for trying something completely out of his comfort zone. We'll be back next week with another slate of shows. We've got the build-up to the PGA Championship. We've got the first ever PGA Tour event in Myrtle Beach, which will be kind of fun. Myrtle Beach is kind of my adopted second hometown. So we've got lots to talk about. Get ready for the second major of the year on the men's docket. You can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Ryan Ballingy. I am on Facebook and YouTube at Ryan Ballingy Golf. If you have made it this far in the podcast and would like a chance to win a Garmin Approach R10 launch monitor, you can go to the Golf News Net YouTube page. Just go to the Golf News Net YouTube page, go subscribe to the channel, and just comment on a video. I don't care which one it is. Just comment on a video and let me know what you followed. And you'll be entered. I'm doing a drawing over the weekend on Sunday evening to determine the winner. So good luck to you if you choose to do that. Thanks so much for listening. We will catch you next week on 2 Off the First.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.